it is hard for me to get out of bed every single day. Every single morning of my life, I wake up and I feel like the sky is falling and I feel unworthy of being loved. And I feel just, man, that the world's against me. Mike, it's every day. It sucks. But once I make that decision to get out of bed, because I'm going to fucking get out of bed. Once I make that decision, then I go after life relentlessly.
Okay, welcome back, or welcome to the Finding Mastery podcast. I'm Dr. Michael Gervais, and by trade and training, I'm a sport and performance psychologist, and I'm fortunate to work with some of the most extraordinary thinkers and doers across the planet. And the whole idea behind this podcast, behind these conversations, is to learn from people who are challenging the edges and the reaches of the human experience in business, in sport, in science, in life. We're going to pull back the curtain to explore how they've committed to mastering both their craft and their minds in an effort to express their potential. Now, these conversations, it's not all just about tactics. We will learn the stories and where they come from to give context to why the tactics and the approaches that they use are so materially important. Because if you just grab somebody else's tactics, but you don't metabolize it in a way where it feels real to you, it's just not sustainable. So we need to understand both so that you can scaffold around your own self best practices from these great minds. And in the spirit of getting better, we always appreciate feedback on how we can make this podcast as valuable as possible for you. So there's two places that you can share any thoughts or comments, requests, anything. One is our weekly newsletter, and we've added a link at the top of each newsletter to review the previous week's podcast. And if you're not subscribed, you can sign up at findingmastery.net/newsletter. We've also fired up our YouTube channel. So all episodes along with short clips are available there. And in the comments section, it's a great place for you to let us know your thoughts on that episode. Finding Mastery is brought to you by listening. This is exactly what their app does. It helps you listen to books and content that you might not be able to sit down and actually have the time to read. There was a time early in my career where I remember sitting in the back hallways of my university and being in the library for hours, reading all of the sports psychology literature and research that I could get my hands on. I loved it. I cherished it. The field of sports psychology is just absolutely on a bender right now. It is growing so fast. It is nearly impossible to keep up with all of the research that's coming out. So that's why I love what listening is doing. It's a game changer for me. So the listening app, it lets me listen to anything that's in writing while I'm on the go. Everything from academic papers to books, PDFs, web pages, articles, anything that I put in their app, it reads it to me. It narrates to me. And plus their AI is great. The way that the interface sounds, like, of course, it's not a human that's reading, but it kind of, the AI is so good of what they're doing, it just works. And then there's also this note-taking function. They know that people like us like to take notes. And so it's as simple as when I hear a key idea, I instantly press a button and that section is saved. They've done a really nice job with this product and they've got a great offer for us. Usually they only give a 2-week trial, but because you are listening to Finding Mastery, you get a whole month for free. Check that out, a whole month for free. So I want to encourage you to go check it out. listening.com/findingmastery or use the code findingmastery at checkout to get started. Again, it's listening.com/findingmastery or use the code findingmastery at checkout to get 1 month completely free. Finding Mastery is brought to you by Hims. Hims is changing men's healthcare by providing simple, convenient, and affordable access to science-informed treatments for erectile dysfunction, known as ED. They also are servicing hair loss, weight loss, and more. Health struggles like ED, they're common, but they can be hard to talk about when it comes to finding a solution. That's why Hims has been a game changer for so many men. The entire process is 100% online. Answer a series of questions on their site, and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option for you. If prescribed, your medication ships directly to you for free in a discreet package. No waiting rooms, no pharmacy visits, and no insurance is needed. Plus, you can manage your plan directly on the Hims app. You can track progress, and learn more about your conditions and how to treat them from leading medical experts. If you or a loved one has been struggling with ED, I really want to encourage you to go check out HIMSS. I know ED often has a psychological component to it as well. So be sure that you're stacking some psychological best practices into your daily routine. Start your free online visit today at HIMSS.com/findingmastery. That's HIMSS, HIMSS.com/findingmastery for your personalized ED treatment options. HIMSS.com/findingmastery. Disclaimer, hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan. Okay, this week's conversation is with Jay Glazer. Jay is a truth teller. He's best known as a National Football League insider, where he's in the know as a trusted confidant and a TV host, and he straddled those two lines brilliantly. And he's a TV host for Fox Sports award-winning NFL pregame studio show called Fox NFL Sunday. The entire cast, including Jay, became the first sports show included into the Television Hall of Fame in 2019. And so Jay was one of the first ever minute-by-minute breaking online news reporters in the NFL. And the currency that he has is the relationships with people inside the buildings, inside of the NFL franchises. So he's trusted, and he's part of that inner community. And then he's so trusted that they know that he's going to talk about particular parts of the information flow on TV. And so there's a delicate balance there because he knows far more than he shares, and he shares when appropriate. So this is a fascinating conversation about truth. And more importantly, it's about Jay's truth and the process that he led to get to that. And that's not easy for anyone. Those miles traveled are hard earned. So Jay documented all this in his new book called Unbreakable, where he offers his insights that he gleaned from his fight with depression and anxiety. It is a relentless and unapologetic, no-nonsense approach to working with self-doubt and fears. And that sets the tone for this conversation. And just a little bit more context. Jay is deeply entrenched in the mixed martial arts, professional athlete world, and military. So in 2007, he created one of the first mixed martial arts training programs for pro athletes in the United States. And he's trained over 1,000 pro athletes. And then in 2014, he co-founded the Unbreakable Performance Center. And this is a private training facility that, you know, like Wiz Khalifa shows up and Chris Pratt shows up and Demi Lovato shows up and like numerous NFL and NHL and MMA athletes. It's a brilliant space that he's created. And in 2015, Jay and former U.S. Army Green Beret, Nate Boyer, you might recognize his name because he was a previous guest on Finding Mastery. And then he and I were teammates also up at the Seattle Seahawks. So the two of them, they founded the charitable organization MVP, Merging Vets and Players, to assist, you know, combat vets and professional athletes who are in the transition phase, who are, you know, facing a tough road of adjusting to civilian life. So this conversation, like I said, it's about getting to the truth. And it's about working with that which is true for you. And with that, let's get right into this week's conversation with Jay Glazer. Jay, how are you?
Good, brother. How are you? I'm doing great now that I get to hang with you.
I know. It's so good to see you. I mean, we've known each other for years, and then you drop a dime on the world amongst your friends, amongst your colleagues, and you drop the dime that you haven't been well. So can we start there?
Let's define well. It's the only life I know.
Yeah, let's define that. You know,
Am I allowed to curse on here or not?
No, yeah, we're adults.
Okay. I've got to make my fucked upness where it works for me, where I'm proud of it, and where it lifts me up and not it doesn't keep me down. So yeah, there's a lot of definitions of well there. I'll correct and say I drop a dime and let people know that I've been in pain my whole life. Mm-hmm. Y'all have known I've been crazy, but no one knew how much pain I was in.
So this is why I wanted to have a conversation with you, because you're an alpha male. You understand the language. You understand the DNA of competitive environments. It's the currency of trust that you work from. And people like, you know, like you somehow you'd never let on that you're struggling. Yeah. So this is, I want to understand this because you are presenting like life is pretty good and I'm kind of screwed up, but you know, like that, aren't we all?
And that's a badge of honor in football and fighting, being crazy.
Yeah, it is. And mm-hmm. and you also had the other part of you, which was like, hey, I really want to help people. Come to find out, you needed the help, just like me. You know, I needed the help. But just tell me about the suffering that you were experiencing, the pain that you were
right.
That you were done with keeping private.
It's my earliest childhood memory is depression, anxiety. I don't know how to live life any other way. It sucks. It sucks. It's every single day of my life. I feel I wake up feeling unworthy of being loved. The sky is falling. Really guilty about the bad that I've done, if you will. And I've got to work myself out of bed every day. Right? I've got to get myself where I don't just stay in bed and let the beast beat me. But it's been something I've dealt with my entire life. And again, I don't know if it's I was born with it or early childhood trauma, whatever it is, it's the only memories I know. And still to this day. It's dark. And so that character that I built up on Fox NFL Sunday and Ballers and the World of Mixed Martial Arts, a lot of that was to mask, you know, a lot of it to kind of give people what they want, but also to mask my own pain. And look, like this right here, this not, you know, muscles aren't true strength, but vulnerability is. And man, I've dealt with this for the most part on my own all these years. I started going to a therapist when I was like 4 or 5. Mm. But having to create that character, Jay Glazer, so I could hide it is why I'm talking about it now. So none of us have to hide it anymore. So we don't have to suffer in silence. So we can be who we really are and know that we're in the majority. Like it's the cool kids now, okay? And that's what I'm trying to get us to understand. And we all have it. And whether it's, listen, I wrote this book, Unbreakable, because we all go through things now, whether it's my level, right? Where it's clinical, the anxiety and depression and bipolar, or whether, you know, you're just going through it because we just got through a pandemic, we were told to isolate from the world, or whether we just think our lives suck now because we compare ourselves to everybody else's lives on social media. And of course we feel left out. There's, all of us go through something now. Or I've had so many people go, well, I don't have it. Like, yeah, you do, but I don't have it, but my daughter does, or my son does. So we all talk about mental health, but who describes it? I want to be the one to describe it. I want to give us, God bless me with the ability to communicate. So I want to give us words now so we could all have these conversations and know we're definitely not alone and we could be authentic to ourselves.
Amen. And everybody experiences anxiety, depression differently. Now, there is a cluster. I'm speaking like a shrink right now. There's a cluster of symptoms that take place. I would love for us to talk about, you know, there's 9 basic symptoms that take place for folks. And,
I'll tell you mine right now.
Yeah. So let's and well, by the way, just for folks, there's 9 and you need 5 to cluster together for an extended period of time, 2 weeks to 30 days. To meet the clinical diagnosis, but that doesn't mean that you're not suffering in some kind of way, but I'd love to hear yours.
Okay. So first of all, again, my depression anxiety started as a child. So it's again, every day, every night, but anxiety attacks. My first one was 2005 and I was actually on TV in an empty Oakland Raiders stadium, nobody there. And I had a big scoop to put out. So I don't know why. I have no idea what triggered it. No clue. And when I have anxiety attacks, and by the way, it's now been every single week of my life since. It's become part of my weekly routine. I don't want it. I don't want it there. But it's every single freaking week. It Jeez. Sucks. This yeah. past week woke me up at 3:00 in the morning. I normally don't get woken up, but it kicked my ass this week. But I'm in that Raider stadium. And what happens to me when I have an anxiety attack is I feel like I'm having a heart attack. right? I get really short of breath. My heart starts racing like crazy. I start sweating like crazy. My eyes start darting back and forth. The walls start caving in. So 2005, we weren't talking about anxiety attacks. So I started getting my heart checked out. I thought I was having a heart attack. For 10 years, I went to doctors to try to figure out what was wrong with my heart. 10 years. It wasn't until I saw something about an anxiety attack where I was like, oh, wait. Okay, that's what I have. But think about this. I was going to doctors for 10 years. And I had an anxiety attack every single time after that I went on TV, whether it was taped or live. And I'm not afraid to be on TV. Like, I'm great in chaos. I suck in calm. So I'll create a lot of chaos sometimes. I'm great in chaos. So in a cage, phenomenal. On TV, I feel great. So I don't really understand why I have these anxiety attacks when I go on TV, when I feel so safe there. But I also don't make up the rules of this thing. So, you know, those first 10 years, imagine that, where I was just trying to go, you know, trying to figure out what's wrong with my heart. And that's another reason I'm doing this, because I can give this to words to this and people go, oh my God, me too. I'd probably say, as I started telling this story, I don't know if the majority of my friends have said they've had one, but a large number of people have been like, oh man, I thought it was just me. Oh, that's what I have too. And again, this power of numbers. The more I can communicate this, the more I can show people they're not alone, because it sucks fighting this alone.
Okay, so let's put some language to it. You're calling it anxiety attack. It's a panic attack, right? Yeah. And then you had a panic attack with a very specific trigger, which was something related to about to being on air. And so—
I don't know. I don't think it was related on air. And again, it was empty.
Not, okay.
No. That's what I'm saying. It just happened to happen.
Oh, was it like time. You were in the stadium in an empty stadium with cameras kind of getting set up? And
no,
it wasn't
they
that.
Are.
Okay.
No, they were, but that's not like, it's not, it wasn't induced by, like, I love being on, and it's kind of weird how it happens too. Like, now it is, it's the first time I come on, and then you'll see me like crack a quick joke. Cause like, that's how I get through it, by breathing and laughter. And I wasn't panicking because I was going on. It just coincided with that. But then I am habitual. So it started, that's when it started taking place. And now I don't do it. It doesn't happen. It's funny. When I did that Lane Johnson sit down this year, I asked him, hey, what, you know, you got any tips for people to get through? And he said, well, I started journaling. And I realized since I've written the book, man, I stopped having those panic or anxiety attacks when I go on TV, because I wrote about the book. So it changed to overnight, or like it found another place to get me. Right.
I see what you're saying.
Yeah. Or a before dinner, or like it's found another place. But I call my anxiety / panic attacks / depression, I call it my abuser. And my abuser's figured out a way to hold on, even though now I've shifted away from when I go on air. So that's why I don't know per se if that triggered it. Again, you're the doctor, maybe it did. I don't know. But I don't know why it would have.
No. Well, okay, so let's just call it panic attacks. But some panic attacks have specific triggers, and some are almost agnostic to a trigger. And it feels like, damn, this thing could get me at any time, as opposed to when I show up at the dentist's office, like it's right. A full panic attack. And so yours was a little bit loose in that respect. There was some triggers, but it was a little bit loose because it had to do something around TV, but you like, in this case, you like going to the dentist. You like going on
right,
air.
Right.
So, you know, it's almost like a bad joke that it would show up there.
And, mm-hmm. and it's, again, I feel comfortable there. I am great in between the ears in a cage or the gym or on TV. And I'm not great a lot in public. So you think that's where it would rise up, and it normally doesn't. Sometimes it'll happen at a lunch. If it's a lunch meeting, mm-hmm. normally not with friends. It's happened. Again, it's kind of all over. Yeah, it's happened with friends. It's just, I don't know if there's a rhyme or reason of mine. Mine just says, no, you're not getting away so fast. And it's my job to fight back.
Okay, so you've got three ways that you're working with it. Mm-hmm. And I want to go back to the depression thing in a minute, but we're here with anxiety. So anxiety, by definition, a layman's definition, is an excessive worry of what could go wrong later.
Yes.
Panic attacks.
I call the sky is falling. Yes.
The sky is falling. And a panic attack is a physiological experience that you feel as though you're about to die.
Right.
There's really no alternatives other than to fight or freeze or run away. Mm-hmm. Like it's a hijack. Your brain hijacks your thinking experience. And it's brutal. Like it is a brutal experience. Let's go to the three strategies that you found to be useful for you.
So mine are for depression anxieties, not just for the anxiety. All right. Okay. These are my three pillars in the book here. One is that laughter I talked about. So I use that as an immediate thing. Again, when I'm on Aaron Fox Nimble Sunday, if you see me crack like a weird joke that doesn't fit at that time, it's because I'm having a really bad one. And I feel like I'm going to have a heart attack on the air. So I'll crack a joke, they laugh, and boom, it goes away because the gray hates laughter.
Okay, hold on, pause. Did your teammates, the folks that you're on air with, the production crew, did they know that that's why you're doing a laugh? Were they in on the strategy?
Nope.
Not until you wrote the book?
Not until I wrote the book. In fact, I announced the book on Good Morning America with my baby sister, Michael Strahan, who has been my best friend since 1993. And I said it on there and he went, "What?" And then he called me after. He said, "Every week?" I said, "Every week." He's like, "Like, why didn't you tell?" And Kurt Menefee asked the same. I said, "Because I don't want to drag down your guys' show. Like, this is me. I got to get through it." Now, I do lean on my teammates when the depression anxiety is bad. But when I'm having an attack and I'm on the air, that's their safe place too. That's their day. So I've got to work through it myself. I don't want to. We're also live on camera. I don't want to come over in the middle of something and go, "Oh my God, I feel like I'm going to just have a heart attack right now." I don't want to bring their day down. Which is the opposite of what I want us all to do, is I want us to reach out and tag a teammate and get help. But in the moment, I never said it to them. This year, I didn't have any until, here's the crazy thing. After our very last show in studio, which was the NFC divisional round, because the next week we go on the road to the NFC championship game. We finished up. We went down to have a meeting about the following week. Boom, full blown right there.
In a minute.
Heading into the meeting. So it didn't have one at all on camera. It wasn't until the end. We're heading to the meeting and the start of the meeting, boom. And I told Kurt Menefee and Howie, and I said, "Dude, I'm having it. And they saw me and I opened my jacket up and I was filled with sweat. And Kurt's like, "Whoa." Like you said, there is a visceral physical reaction when it happens. But again, you're talking about no rhyme or reason. I'm off the air. I'm off the air in studio for the whole entire year. And it happens into a meeting just to plan for the next week, which we always have.
Okay, I want to talk to you about a new sponsor right here, Hydro. I love what they're doing. They are awesome. I don't know if you're into rowing like I am. I really enjoy it. What I try to do is move around different cardio exercises, sometimes on a bike, sometimes I'm rowing, sometimes I'm outside. But when I want to row, they've got it dialed in. They've done something fundamentally different than all the other rowers. One, it's not this loud machine that is making a ton of noise and, you know, chains slapping all over the place. They've done this in a really slick, premium, elevated way. And then the other thing they've done is that there's a nice screen that you can have a guide or a coach with you. And their coaches are Olympians and world-class athletes. And what they've done is they're filming, full stop, they are filming all over the world on places where their experts are rowing, and then you get to go with them. And they're coaching you the whole way. I love it. My favorite coach by far is Mac. She's great. And I just want to encourage you to give them a shot. If you love rowing, I think you're going to love this machine. And if you're not into rowing, I don't know if you know this, but rowing, there's been some research around rowing that rowing engages over 80% of your muscles while you're doing it. So it's a really efficient exercise. This spring, join the growing rowing community at Hydro. Head over to hydro.com and use the code MASTERY to save up to $400 off your Hydro. That's hydro.com, HYDROW.com, and use the code MASTERY to save up to $400. Hydro.com, use the code MASTERY. Finding Mastery is brought to you by AG1. It's really important to me that the supplements I take are of the highest quality. And that's why for almost a decade now, I've been drinking AG1. When I first was connected with them, I thought, oh, this is great. This is great. And then I double clicked to understand their process and how they went about it. And I just love the rigor that goes into what they're creating and the product that they have. And they've gone through so many iterations to get it just right, 52 of them to be exact. Sometimes quality can be a buzzword, but they are committed. They are fundamentally committed to have a great product for us. They're interested in absorption. They're interested in high quality manufacturing. They rigorously test their product. So I trust what's in AG1. And one of the reasons I have extra confidence in that statement is they are NSF certified for sport. That's one of the most rigorous independent quality and safety certification programs in the supplement industry. They've made it so easy as well. What I do every morning is I take a scoop, put it into a cup of water, shake it up, and it's the first thing that I put in my stomach. And I love it. It just gives me the sense like, okay, I've invested in my health and I haven't even started my day yet. So if you want to replace your multivitamin and more, I want to encourage you to go check out AG1. So try AG1 and get a free 1 year supply of vitamin D3, K2, and 5 free AG1 travel packs with your first subscription at drinkag1.com/findingmastery. Again, that's drinkag1.com/findingmastery. I hope you go check them out. So the anxiety around a panic attack is often more constricting and debilitating than the actual panic attack.
Yeah. Cause you think you're going to die on the air. Yeah.
But you're not, no one's ever died of a panic attack, right? There's people die of heart attacks, but that's not what this is.
I know I'm safe.
Yeah. It's the anxiety. Like, when is it going to drop? When is it going to drop? Is it going to drop? No, it's not going to drop. It could drop. Should I go? I should go. And that's the internal civil war that creates such a tension internally that we actually create, you know, a reason to have a panic attack. But it's that anxiety that is often more constricting than the actual panic attack. And just to be clear, like, only about 2% of the population in the United States have had a panic attack. I shouldn't say only.
No shot, no chance. That's the ones who talk about it now.
Okay, so you're saying it's doubled.
2% is way more than, I'd say it's times 10, 20, 30. Oh, no. And that's because I've done this. I'm now a reach out going, oh my God, I didn't know how to tell. I didn't know who to talk about. I've never told anybody. So all the studies we have, that's the people who've been willing to talk about it. Think about all those people who aren't willing to talk about it. That's the majority. The majority aren't willing to talk about it. So I'm going to say it's way more.
And they're not actually, you know, science is interesting, right? Like, I think it's I think anxiety, depression are underreported as well. And the estimates for anxiety, depression are about like 15% for depression, for anxiety. I've always said it's probably more like 30. 3 out of 10 people have you think it's even higher. Well, during the pandemic, it's even higher than that.
Right.
So
so when were these studies done?
Well, they're done annually. They're done every year.
Okay. But here's the thing. I just spoke to a room of clinicians about this. Mm-hmm. I said, and there's 74 of them and one of just 74 doctors and one fucked up dude, even though there's probably 75 fucked up people there. And I said, you guys all got your education on this from schooling. My education is unfortunately from suffering, but most, like, everybody went to school before this was such a factor. And social media was a factor. Again, there's a couple of things here with the social media part. A, you get hooked on it, right? You get hooked on whether it's the likes or you just, it becomes another habit and you put it down, your brain waves are so different now than they used to be. Like, you're just addicted, right? So that leads into it. That's number one. Number two, we're comparing ourselves to everybody else's, like I said, everybody else's filtered fraction of 1 second in one day. And we feel left out. We think our lives suck. The most famous people in the world think that their lives suck because, oh, look how much fun they're having. Look what these people do. Look at that person's business. Look at that person's meal. Look at that party. How come I wasn't invited to that party? It's a lot more. And then the hate we see on Twitter, when we were growing up, and if you were bullied at the playground or your friend was, it did suck for the weekend, the week, right? And that's a weekend or a week of your time over one bully. We see it 1,000 times per minute on Twitter. The human condition is not meant for it. They're not factoring all that in. So when you're saying these numbers, that they're not even close. And I'm talking, and maybe you guys are talking clinical depression, anxiety, which is my level, but that's not what we should be talking about. We should be talking about everybody. And even like people, as I've started to write, and if you read the book, it's this, I talk about the gray through a conversation I had with Sean McVay last year. When we were in Cabo, me, him, and Andrew Whitworth, when Matthew Stafford literally happened to show up to our hotel. It was not planned, even though people don't believe it. It literally was not planned. Actually, McVay was down there because I broke up with my girlfriend, and he was down. He stayed down and helped console my ass. He was supposed to be gone. So it was coincidental. But we had a conversation that night, me, him, and Andrew Whitworth, about living in the gray and that darkness. And the darkness that gets football players, and people do such, push themselves to such high levels. And Sean just didn't understand it. He didn't get it at the time. And I think the majority were like him. And as we started talking this year, he called me in the middle of this year and he said, now I get it. Yeah, I suffered from the gray. I just didn't know what it was. I didn't know that that's what that was. So that's what I mean. I think the masses have something. And now that I've written this book also, people have reached out and say, I don't have it, but my son does, or my daughter does, or my this or that. And even though, no, you got them too. But they just want the words to connect with their son or daughter and have the communication to connect with them. So there's a lot more than we think.
I love what you're doing, because your gift is to put words to experiences. Mm-hmm. You're doing it here in an intimate, meaningful way that's changing people. Also, I would temper the enthusiasm of the percentage of people that have it, because you will get a confirmation bias. So as soon as you are wearing, something, a piece of jewelry, and then all of a sudden you look out and you're like, people are like, oh, I have one like that and I have one like that. But the people that don't have one don't reach out to you.
But isn't that better for them to go, yes, that's me, than to hide the shadows and suffer in silence?
Oh, no. Right? No.
I'm not saying this, again, my level, it could be anything. He doesn't have my level, but he this year is like, oh, dude, I've been suppressing this and I haven't leaned on anybody when I go through this anxiety. I haven't been vulnerable about it. Yes.
Yeah. You're giving a massive gift to people.
Thank you.
And so folks like Sean that are great at what they do, there's an aloneness that can come with that as well. There's an aloneness on that depression side that is unique for people that are trying to do the extraordinary. And I'm not saying that by any means depression is reserved for just them, but there's a uniqueness in this community of people that are trying to do the extraordinary that is compounded in many respects.
Yeah, I think on the other end too, though, because it's such a stigma, and because people feel so like they're damaged, or if they say they have depression, anxiety, that's why I'd personally rather more people, even if it's a little or a lot, jump in with it this way, and then say, okay, at least I have a grasp of this. Like, listen, if you sprain your knee, I don't want you hiding that, right? Let's at least know we have it. How do we fix it? Now, is the difference between a sprained knee and a torn ACL? Totally different, right? But we still have to go and attack it. Same thing here. And the other part of this too is mental health is way too reactive. We only go to a therapist when something wrong's happened, when the sky is falling, right? We don't do that with physical health. We got to start doing with mental health.
That's right. Yes. That's the old way.
That's why we need to do this. Right. And to have us feel like we're the majority, because I do think we are the majority. And again, I'm not saying clinical, but it's a harder world than we've ever lived in, man. It's whether it's the pandemic or social media it's just a harder world than it's ever been. So I think that we are in the majority, and the more people, and I'm just saying that. And it doesn't mean like your life sucks or anything like that. It's like, man, I have I had this panic attack, or man, I had this period where I couldn't get out of this period for a little while, or I do have these feelings, or man, I want to connect better with my son or daughter. It's really I'm not able to with this. I just think we all go through a lot more struggles, but our struggles got to make us strong, man. Like our scars are we have to really rely on.
Here's the thing
to brag about.
You're a strong man. And so by you doing this, it creates a really strong anchor. Like, okay, if he can, I can. Awesome. Yeah. It is harder for the person who feels weak to be able to say it, even though you feel, even you listen on paper, you've got all the success. Physically, you look like you've been sculpted out of a piece of marble.
What marble store would that be?
Yeah, right.
You only see from here up.
It's a big one, right? Yeah.
you see from here up, not there, not the gut.
So, like, notwithstanding,
don't I have more? And that's why I am doing this, because I think I built up this big facade for a while.
There you go.
So yes. I was willing to break it down than most. So I think there's both, right? You could be, well, I'm not that strong to do it. When yes, you are that strong to do it, but also my level was, yeah, I'm going to decide to reveal myself,
okay,
who so I really am to the world.
I love that. Let's have this in as a just a thought stem. Osaka raises her hand and says, "I can't do it."
Yeah.
Okay. She says, Naomi Osaka says, "I can't do it." And then what about the number?
Which is strong as shit.
Yep. Strongest, like best in the world. What about number
two? No, that was strong. That was strong of her.
And she is. Yeah.
Yeah,
and
so, really strong of her.
Yeah. That's amazing. Now, what about number 255 on tour that is near bankrupt?
Yep.
Has the same conditions.
So no matter what, I think the most successful people are as authentic as they can be, right? You got to live and die with who you are.
Period.
So if you're number 52 or number 252, if you come forward with it, maybe they don't have the same form, but they could turn to their coach or their teammates and go, "Man, I'm really struggling." And then their teammates and coach are allowed to lift them up because we need it. And that's, you talk about the book. Like I did this so I could have more teammates, so I can't talk to them about it. Mm-hmm. When I talk to them about it, it gets me through that grade better. It allows me to walk this walk with more people. So even if you're number, and I understand what you're saying, because number 252 on tour is like, "Man, if I say this, I'm going to be over here. I'm not going to, no one's going to give me a chance." Or.
And I've got to show up to this thing because I don't have any resources. No, like I'm not saying that bankrupt. We shouldn't
show up. And Naomi, and I think, and that's what I warn people about too. Like when I've been on both sides. I've been on the broke side when I made $9,750 a year for the first 11 years of my career. Mm-hmm. Okay. $9,700 living in New York City, broken and broke, working 100-hour weeks. I couldn't get another job because I wanted to outwork everybody in this field. So Strahan actually drove me back into New York City every day for 7 years because I didn't have enough for subway and bus fare both ways. So I owe him like $28,000 in Lincoln Tunnel fare. But every single day drove me from Giant Stadium back. And he didn't even live in New York City. So I understand the broke side. When I went from broke to, let's say, unbreakable, when I'm up here and I became the first, you know, minute by minute, you know, breaking news person in this country, me and John Clayton and Len Pasquarelli on the internet, which I think is going to take off, that internet thing one day. You know, all of a sudden I got that was for $50,000. And all of a sudden I started moving up and it was like this amount, and this amount. And I started moving up more and more. I thought it'd be rainbows and unicorns. And it wasn't. Like, if you don't know how to love yourself up from the inside out, I don't care how much money they pay me. Like, it wasn't. And in fact, it made it harder on me. So all of a sudden, now that I became, we're in the TV Hall of Fame. I'm in 5 years of ballers. I have a great charity. I have a big brand with GNC and Unbreakable. And between my ears, it's probably it's harder because now I'll have things to lose. I didn't have anything to lose back then. Now I'm so afraid to lose it all that it's changed who I was. So someone like Naomi Osaka, when you get so high, or Simone Biles, now all of a sudden the whole world's watching you. You have a lot more to lose. And there's hard things about both sides. So I've experienced both. That's what's hard for somebody like her, for somebody like me, or a lot of other people that, like, look, The Rock wrote the foreword on this and did it because he said, "Brother, you're going to be the one who helps lead us all through the gray." But Dwayne is the most successful person on the planet because he still honestly feels like he's going to be broke next week again and be homeless again next week, and he's going to lose it all. Not that he's not going to get it. He's going to lose it. And that anxiety grips him. And I know people go, "Oh, yeah, tough problems." Again, all our problems weigh the same between our ears. They all weigh the same. So Naomi's problem, like, it could have been one thing, but now, yes, she has so much more to lose. Where that girl at 252, right, doesn't have that to lose, but she still has those problems. She still has that pain, I should say.
That's right. Equally hard for different reasons.
Correct.
Right. And okay. And so,
and obviously I have ADD too, which is why I keep interrupting you. So I got everything.
No, no. Our experience in life is the relationship we have with experience. So it's the way that you and I uniquely experience this conversation is what makes us us. And if I'm experiencing this right now, like, geez, dude can't stop interrupting me, then I'm going to have a frustrated experience. If my experience is like, God, he's on it, he's rolling, then my experience is like my shoulders drop and I'm leaning in. So this is what I hope a takeaway is that anybody that's listening listens to you and says, listen, I've got moments in my life that feel as though it's going to get the best of me. Mm-hmm. I keep fighting. I keep figuring out. I got to laugh. I need a community. I need a tribe.
Build a team.
And the team. And then right. What was your third one?
My third one is be of service.
Be of service. And, so hold on real quick. You're right on the money with three of the really important components to be able to work from a clinical standpoint with anxiety, mm-hmm. depression, even addiction. And so now talk about that third one of being a service.
Yeah. So being of service for me, it's hard to feel that dark, doomy gray when you see others happy or smile, you know, you've done something for somebody. So again, even when I was broke, I figured out ways to be of service. And I still actually do the same thing. I would go to the 99 cent store and I would get toothbrush, toothpaste, handy wipes, band-aids, pad and pen, socks, gloves, and deodorant, and put it in a bag and give out to the homeless. It's $8, right? And I still do that with my son. So it's just things. Or now being of service, just be calling somebody. Like this, the other night, I said I had one that really got me. I just called some people and said, hey, how are you doing? Some people I called and said, hey, I'm struggling. That's about me having a team. And some people I called and said, how are you doing? I'm just checking up on you. So by me doing that, it allowed me to work myself through it. And the other thing you just said, that everybody has this, and it's like that moment, right? I just did an appearance recently and about all this. And there was a man in the crowd. I think it was about 75 years old. I think that's what he said. And he raised his hand. He said, Jay, you said you have this crippling depression, anxiety, but then you talk about being relentless and unbreakable in life. He said, I had a hard time getting out of bed. I almost didn't come here this morning. And a hard time getting out of bed and coming. So how are you able to be relentless in life with this level of anxiety? And I said, I'm glad you asked that. He said, it is hard for me to get out of bed every single day. Every single morning of my life, I wake up and I feel like the sky is falling. And I feel unworthy of being loved. And I feel just, man, that the world's against me. Mike, it's every day. It sucks. But once I make that decision to get out of bed, because I'm going to fucking get out of bed. Once I make that decision, then I go after life relentlessly. And that's what I told him. Once I make that decision, right? Life's about our choices and our decisions. I might as well go for it. Right now, I may be listless because it's getting to me, but I'm going for it. So I said to him, I said, man, you just opened up in front of 200 of your colleagues about this. This is the first time you ever told anybody. He said, it is. He pulled his glasses off and starts crying. I said, how freaking courageous is that? This is what I mean about having a team. The entire place got up and gave this guy a standing ovation. Right. And this is what I mean, like, be a team. That was me being of service to him, but also that was his way of reaching out and having a team. It was pretty courageous of him to raise his hand in front of coworkers, but also I'm getting choked up here because that's 75 years of pain for that dude. 75 years where if I didn't happen to speak on this, who knows if he ever talked about it, right? So there's just too many of us out there that are like that. And that's why I think it's just important to do.
Jay, I'm stoked on what you're doing. And I can't wave my arms far enough or high enough to say, pay attention to what you're saying, because this silent suffering that happens for most of us, this aloneness, this sometimes chemical, sometimes psychological, sometimes both experience that feels overwhelming. There are tools, and you named three of them. Laughing is a great tool. It changes physiology. It forces you to be present. There's a long exhale, which sends a signal to the brain that you're okay. Humor is good in so many ways. The second is having a community,
Yeah, having a team.
And that goes two ways, right? That is you connecting with others and others being there for you. So a teammate is what it's about.
And I want to kind of delve into that a little bit more, because a teammate isn't just having an actual team. It's not the Seattle Seahawks. It's not the LA Rams. Right? Some of it is, could be. Like for me, my dog is an IR team. My son and I are a team. God and I, the one up there, we're a team. My fight team is a team. My unbreakable team is a team. My MVP charity is a team, right? My Foxhamville Sunday crew is certainly a team that I lean on. So there's teams all around us. We just got to see it and realize, okay, that person's a teammate. My wife or husband is actually a teammate. My children are teammates. My parents are teammates. My dog's teammate. God is a teammate. Your work could be a teammate. So that's what we have more teams around us than we think. My point.
That's right. And we have to be good teammates for those teams to stay together, to hold together, to be true.
Yeah. Don't be a selfish teammate. Yep.
No, it doesn't last long. It just doesn't last long.
Don't be a selfish teammate. Yes.
I love it. And then the other is, being of service. Now there's a couple others. Talk therapy. So working with somebody that is highly skilled in the way that thoughts and emotions work.
And that's what I was saying before. Like if our elbows hurt, we immediately go to someone to get treatment. Or if man, if you're a football player and you're 40 times not up, you're going to get a speed coach, right? So same with this. We need a therapist, not just when the sky is falling, but in other times. So I have three therapists that I constantly work with, and I'll add more because it's it's mental fitness now, right? I don't want to just call it mental health. I want to call it mental fitness also.
Finding Master is brought to you by Apollo Neuro. By now, you're probably well aware that I am a huge fan of what they're doing. I love what they're building and how they're using science-backed technology to help people flourish. This is just a great technology that isn't measuring something, it's actually providing a state change for you to help you either downregulate, find a deeper sense of calm, maybe fall asleep a little bit easier. And if you want to be a bit more up and animated, they've got a way to help you do that as well. It's awesome. It works by sending silent, soothing vibrations. They call them Apollo vibes, of course. That's fun. And it's like music that you can just feel. Just like music, higher vibrations help improve your energy and focus, while lower vibrations, slower vibrations, help to reduce stress, help you relax. I use it twice a day. I use it after I do something really intense. So after it's a lift, after some fitness, after some sport, or after something I'm doing in the office. And I use it right before I go to bed. The science that they found is fascinating. Across various real world and clinical trials, Apollo wearable users experience up to 40% less stress and feelings of anxiety. That's an average, of course. 19% more time in deep sleep, 11% increase in HRV, heart rate variability, and up to 25% more focus and concentration. Those are radical. And because you're a part of the Finding Mastery community, you're going to get an exclusive, and I mean that word here, 15% off an Apollo wearable. So just head to apolloneuro.com/findingmastery and use the code findingmastery at checkout. This is an exclusive offer only available to Finding Mastery. I love that we get to do this together. So be sure to use our code. Again, APOLLONEURO, apolloneuro.com/findingmastery, or use the code findingmastery at checkout for 15% off your purchase. You're only getting that here. I really hope you'll check them out. Finding Mastery is brought to you by AquaTrue. We all know how important hydration is to performance and recovery and well-being, but it's not just about how much you drink. The quality of your water plays a big role. And if you're like me and you don't fully trust tap water, and I think for good reason, research by the Environmental Working Group has shown that 3 out of 4 homes in the U.S. have harmful contaminants in tap water. That's why I'm really excited to introduce AquaTrue. Their purifiers use a 4-stage reverse osmosis purification process, and their countertop purifiers remove 15 times more contaminants than ordinary pitcher filters. It's incredible. I can literally taste the difference in my water. Plus, the filters are affordable and long-lasting. Just one set of filters from their classic purifier makes the equivalent of 4,500 bottles of water. That adds up to less than 3 cents per bottle. It feels great to know that all at once, I'm saving money, getting the highest quality water for the Finding Mastery team, and helping make a positive impact on the environment by eliminating single-use plastics all the way around. AquaTrue comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee, and it even makes a great gift. And right now, because you're a Finding Mastery listener, you receive 20% off any AquaTrue purifier. So just go to AquaTrue.com. You spell it AquaTru.com and enter the code Finding Mastery at checkout. Again, that's AquaTrue.com. Enter the Finding Mastery code at checkout to receive 20% off any purifier that you buy there. That's right. And so in sport, in elite sport, the ones that front load their training before the quote unquote test, the ones that front load physical, mental, technical training, those are the ones that are more durable, more resilient, more agile when, you know, the opportunity is there. So if you're not training your mind in times of calm waters, what makes us think in rugged waters that it's going to hold up well?
Right.
And
right.
So, yeah. All right. And then talk therapy. So we got that meditation. Mindfulness is another kind of best practice. Mindfulness-based stress reduction. Medication.
So
and other.
I'm willing to try them all. I've tried over 30 of them. I'm one of those guys. The SSRIs just don't work. A lot of them don't work. I probably found two over the years that worked, but I metabolized so fast. They worked for a few days and that was it. So I'm trying to give all these strategies and these tools that I have, hoping to build myself from the inside out, but I'm still going to try when the next medication comes out, I'm going to try. Like, I'm never going to stop seeking out that help. And when I have friends who their meds work for them, I'm like, damn, like, I'm like, shit, I wish I could be that. So I agree too. And meds come in all sorts of ways now, right? Because now you have, you know, the psychedelics are coming out and the, whatever it is, and alternative health medicines, and I'm willing to try anything.
Yeah, good. I mean, there's a lot of alternatives.
Because I
can
pull myself out of it too. Yeah. But I haven't found one that's worked for me yet. Like, it's been 30 plus, but I'll keep trying. So I want people to understand that out there. Like, yes, it works for you. Keep doing it and
keep exploring.
But we also got to build ourselves up from the inside out with or without them.
The other is exercise, so you're well aware that that can meaningfully impact. And then there's also some modalities like transcranial magnetic stimulation. There's EEG stuff where you can actually attune your brain. So those modalities.
I've done that. I've done the brain scans where they do the EMDR.
EMDR is another modality.
EMDR, right? Yeah, I've done that. Man, I've done a lot because I know I could pull myself up. Now, some of them have set me in a spiral, dark hole. And I know, like I said, I could pull myself up and out of it. And I work with so many combat vets, I don't want to ever say to them that, like, give the okay if something that I don't know works for me.
That's right.
So I'm willing to try anything really for them. So I can say, wow, this was amazing, or this is my experience with this. Because I'm just trying to be a good teammate to them, and I know I can pull myself out of it. Where, like, for me, as dark as I've ever gotten, suicide will not be an option for me. Won't. I will not do that to. And if I made that decision a long time ago, I want everybody to, like, you never know what lies around next Tuesday, or lives could always change next week. But B, I just don't want to do that to anybody else. Right. I just don't want to be, I don't want to put my pain on anybody else. And while my pain may be gone, if I do that, their pain around me will be, I put so much more pain and problems on them. And I don't want to do that. So I know I can pull myself up and out of these dark holes that certain treatment has led me to. But I won't stop until there's been some that have given me relief for certain periods of time. So I'll keep trying to do it for all of us.
We all need high ground, whether that is a warm bath, magnesium, salt, you know, like, we, you know, massage, you know, whatever it might, we all need high ground. And if there's durable ways that, you know, you can get to the high ground, great. And so this is a great conversation. I want to honor our time, but a great conversation.
We're good.
For you to say, for me to say, hey, invest in your psychology. Don't wait until you feel breakable. You don't need to wait for that. Like, get on it now, like right now.
Yeah.
And folks are listening, like, what do you mean? Yeah, call a sports psychologist, call a performance psychologist, go find a local psychologist from a friend of yours that's doing some work and get ahead of it, which is like, I want to be great. I want to experience my potential. I want to flourish in life. Mm-hmm. Well, go get your mind fit mm-hmm. and conditioned and healthy. So it's pliable yeah. and agile. I mean, that's it, dude.
Look, the key to being great, and I put this in the book, it's actually pretty simple. Find out who the best is and do more than them. That's it. Right?
Oh my God. I love the simplicity. I think you need it to is. Add a tone. You need to add a tone in there though.
What is that?
There's a note in here that's important.
But my point is
authenticity. Authenticity.
But a lot of people go, man, why isn't this happening for me? Why isn't this happening for me? Because, man, if you want this to happen for you, you got to double your work output. That's what I said. Like, I was working 100-hour weeks trying to make my dreams come true. I wasn't outworking everybody by a lot. But listen, it's the simplicity. I use Tom Brady all the time. Dude's a 6-round pick. Wasn't a full-time starter in college. Terrible body. Couldn't run fast. What's he do? He outworks the world. I had a football player. We were training the Atlanta Falcons one year, and this football player came out, J.J. Watt. He said to me, man, how about what J.J.'s turned into? I said, yeah. And he said, man, I wonder why I didn't turn into that. I said, well, you can. Just find out his workout and do more. And it's not just the workout. It's the film, right? It's the body. It's everything. And he goes, well, I can't do that. I said, well, there's your answer right there.
There's your answer right there.
You just said it.
But I would go upstream from there, Jay, and I'd say it's not the downstream workout. It's the way that he's thinking about creating that type of workout plan. It's the 14 physical training coaches that he's interviewed to find the thing that works right for him. So I'd go upstream on that and say, understand how he thinks. And then everybody's leaving clues. We're all leaving clues.
Look at listen, the Michael Jordans, the Tiger Woods, the Lindsey Vonns, they all got the same thing. They outwork everybody, not by a little, but by a lot. Now, the other end of that is trying to be great is lonely. It's freaking miserable. It's all the hours that you put in that nobody watches.
Right. Well, this is really important because that's trying to be the greatest. If you're trying
just
to be
great.
But if you're trying to be your best, whatever that might be, it doesn't necessarily have to have that level of quote unquote sacrifice. What it doesn't have to have.
Well, if we're talking about on a pro level, it's got to have a lot of sacrifice.
Okay, so we need to actually sit down over this because I can introduce folks in different disciplines, not sport. And you and I know the same players that are the half percenters and say, oh God, there's a loneliness. There's an internal scratchiness. Yeah. I'd like to have them over for dinner once, but I don't want to be around this person very often because there's such a toxicity inside of them.
Oh no, I don't mean that. But listen, I'm around Strahan all the time, right? My best, mm-hmm. He outworks the freaking world, but it's constant. And the things he knows he's not good at, he's going to work harder at. He's going to ask. So you always want to be around them. So I'm not saying it's that where it's toxic being around guys or it's all they think about work. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying if you want to be great in anything you do, you got to work your freaking ass off. Like it doesn't just happen for us, for anybody. And then you can't be upset that it doesn't happen and go, why isn't this happening to me when you're not putting that work in? That's my point.
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, that's a really important point.
Okay.
Okay. Look, let's slightly pivot and just talk about trust for just a quick moment here. Your currency is trust. People trust you and they bring you into the intimate circle knowing that your job is to talk about information that they share with you. Okay, so it is a high wire act that you're able to navigate and you've done it beautifully. Your relationships are your second currency. So how do you develop trust? What is your mechanism for it?
I'm authentic. Love me or hate me, I am who I am, right? I'm authentic. Even when I'm trying to mask the depression, anxiety, there's always an authenticity about me. Like I've never hid my fucked upness, right? Again, back then we called it crazy. Now we're called it mental health. But also in building relationships, I've never had relationships where I'm trying to have a relationship for me. I go in every relationship of what I could, man, I need a team for mental health. I need a team. So on my team, I'm going to be the most loyal dude in the room. And I hope everybody else is going to be just as loyal. But that's the key. You go in and you be loyal and you have give relationships where you're not just taking. No one wants to be around that. I will actually treat everybody. It's going to sound a little bizarre. But I treat people like I'm going to be their pallbearer. Right? Who's your pallbearer? The people that, man, you can know what matter what. They're your ride and dies. Wherever you are in life, you get in trouble, you call me. I'm that guy. I'll be there in 2 seconds, whatever it is. And man, if 10 or 15 people are view me the same way back, I got a good little crew around me. And luckily, I think some more than that have, because I am there and authentic, and I'm not just trying to take and use it. Yeah, but a lot of times I get in fights with my people about, they're like, man, we can't have this. Well, I need to break this, man. That's what I do for a living. Like, we got to, you know, so there is, but you got to remind, hey, this is what you guys, you know, you guys need help with this. I need help with this. But I just want to make sure people know, like, I'm never doing this because I'm looking for scoops. I'm never doing this. I put out probably less than 1% of what I'm told. So a lot of it too is, you know, like, hey, I really like this, or hey, I want to work on this with you. Hey, I'm going to help you with this. But when it happens, I want to be the one to break it. Right. And that is a trust also. I think when I started in, you know, the early days, one of the things I want to do is do it differently. I thought a lot of writers back then were, as the early 90s, as late 80s or early 90s, were using their pen as a weapon. I said, I'm going to start relationships. Totally different. And I'd build relationships instead of going for the scoop. If you just go for the scoop, you're going to burn yourself. It's one time. If you have a relationship, it's, you guys are always both lifting each other up. Like, we should lift each other up for the long term. And that's how I do it. I mean, it's funny because I was doing a NFL training camp tour. Dan Quinn, his second to last year, I think, with the Falcons, third to last year, whatever it was. And I still do the same stuff I did when I first, since 93, I go to training camp all summer. And Dan's like, what are you still doing this for? I said, what do you mean? He said, you've moved up and on from this, haven't you? I said, there is no up and on for this. Like, you guys are my family. This is my team. The NFL for me is that team I talked about, for me, right? The fight world, the mixed martial arts world, is a fight team, a family for me. So there is no moving up and on. I'm not looking at people like, oh, now I've moved up and on from all y'all. No, we're walking this walk together forever. That's how I view it.
Two things. One is some research out of Harvard from Francis Fry and Ann Morris talk about there's a trust triangle. So it's empathy, meaning I see you, I get you. You know, there's some logic to the way that we're going to work together, which is like, hey, listen, I got to break this one.
Right.
Right. And then the other is they know how to trust you because you're authentic. Mm-hmm. You see and you walk and you talk in the, you know, in ways that are familiar, and there's no dubiousness about it. So,
and I'm gonna add a fourth one. Though, and that fourth one is that loyalty. Loyalty is a dying art. It's a lost art, right? And for me, loyalty, that has been my brand in anything and everything I've done forever, and that's my authentic brand. So it's and I just say brand because it sounds cool for me to say, but loyalty was put me on the path that I've always been on.
And then the other thing that you talked about, which is materially important, is that I was talking to a big investor in tech, and he was talking, this was maybe like 4 years ago, and he was talking about laying a big bet. And I was like, you're going to lay that kind of bet? And he was talking about Elon Musk. And he says, I'm betting on him. I am betting on him. Yeah, he's a bad man. I'm betting on him. And he had great logic of why that seemed like a sound bet, even though like there's some volatility in the market around him. I have that same feeling for you. I would bet on you and look at your track record, look at your honesty, look at your authenticity, look at your ethic. And like, do you have that way about you? And
thank you.
Yeah, man. So I'm.
Wow. One, thank you, man. That is. Wow.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you so much, man. And wow. I appreciate that a lot. Thank you.
Yeah, dude, I appreciate you. And so listen, however I can be of service to MVP, I know we've talked about it and we haven't been able to line it up to date, but at some point we will. And I'm so stoked to flame and support what you're doing. And then if we could just close it up, if we close this out, your resume is ridiculous. What do you want people to say at your eulogy? Talking about pallbearers. He was committed to
Well, first of all, I want to set some ground rules for my funeral.
Yeah, let's do that.
No one's wearing black. You're going to celebrate my ass and celebrate each other. Okay. And no, but it's a party. Okay. That's not more, because I also like, I mean, I think we just rent these bodies, but the souls live on forever. And I want to see y'all celebrate. I want to, again, be of service to y'all. So I want y'all to be happy and celebrate and tell all the crazy Glazer stories and have fun and lift yourselves up. So that's one ground rule there.
Okay, cool.
Shots are allowed. No mm-hmm. problem. Mm-hmm. Right? Beers are totally fine. Mm-hmm. But what I want to be, I want to leave a legacy here. I want to change how mental health is talked about. I want to change the next generation of our military, right? Where, man, that they come out better. They view themselves differently. They view themselves with more pride. They view themselves as, you know, the heroes that they are. And it's not being cliche. And I say heroes because, like, all these vets we have in MVP, I didn't know a single one of them before I started MVP. Yet they went overseas to save, I say save, or to serve people they don't know. That's selfless, and that's why they're heroes. They don't know me and my son. I would like to be, you know, somebody that is able to change. And then same with, like, our pro athletes, our football players. Man, I want all our pro athletes. Like, right now we're going on a bad road here because of where we are, mental health wise, society. And I want to be the guy that gets them to all finish up and be proud of what they did, and they can go live long, happy, successful, fun lives based off what they've done. And I know it sounds, it's not cliche, but it really, I can't fit it in one or two words, which obviously I can't do anything with, but at least just, I want, you know what, man, I probably like the room to be left with people saying I'm better off because of Jay Glazer.
Period.
That's it.
Yeah. I'm rooting for you, brother. I bet on you too. Yeah.
I appreciate that, man. And like I said, I'm a work in progress, man. I'm still, even like mm-hmm. you saying what you said to me, I'm trying to accept that more now. And, mm-hmm. you know, Lee, and it's hard for me. But it's getting better for me when I hear things like that. So I really appreciate that. It really means a lot.
Awesome. All right, dude. I'm looking forward to the next time that we connect in person.
Yeah.
And anything I can do on this.
Come to MVP session in LA. I'll meet you out there.
It's every Wednesday night. It's every Wednesday.
Every Wednesday at Unbreakable in LA. And we're in seven cities. For any combat vet or athlete that's listening to this, MVP, emerging vets and players. We take former combat vets, now actually opened up to active military. And we're merging together with former NFL players and former fighters and Olympians and basketball and baseball. But now it's everyone, because we want them to know they have a place to go when the uniform comes off. And we're putting them together. We train for about a half hour just to give you that burn again and, you know, release that in your brain. But it's really, we sit in these mats after and we talk about everything. And we are so vulnerable. And it's not three or five of us in a room. And we're not sitting there with styrofoam cups. Like, we're sitting there. There's 50, 80, 100. Like, it's incredible. And how much we open up and lean on each other and learn from each other. It's incredible. So come up there, man, you be my guest. I would love it. They would love it also. And that's, we, you know, our vets and our players deserve to be heard. And when they kind of bounce stuff off each other, man, it's better than any Fortune 500 boardroom I've been in or meeting room I've been in. It's incredible what they come up with. So I'd love for you to come up and witness the magic firsthand.
Fire in the hole. Let's go.
I like it.
Let's go. All right, Jay. I appreciate you. Thank Unbreakable. You, brother. Check it out. Social. Find it everywhere. And
it's called Unbreakable: How I Turn My Depression and Anxiety into Motivation, and You Can Too. So, yep. You can get anywhere, any bookstore, anywhere you normally buy books.
Appreciate you, brother.
I appreciate you, man.
All right. Thank you so much for diving into another episode of Finding Mastery with us. Our team loves creating this podcast and sharing these conversations with you. We really appreciate you being part of this community. And if you're enjoying the show, the easiest no-cost way to support is to hit the subscribe or follow button wherever you're listening. Also, if you haven't already, please consider dropping us a review on Apple or Spotify. We are incredibly grateful for the support and feedback. If you're looking for even more insights, we have a newsletter we send out every Wednesday. Punch over to findingmastery.com/newsletter to sign up. This show wouldn't be possible without our sponsors, and we take our recommendations seriously. And the team is very thoughtful about making sure we love and endorse every product you hear on the show. If you want to check out any of our sponsor offers you heard about in this episode, you can find those deals at findingmastery.com/sponsors. And remember, no one does it alone. The door here at Finding Mastery is always open to those looking to explore the edges and the reaches of their potential so that they can help others do the same. So join our community, share your favorite episode with a friend, and let us know how we can continue to show up for you. Lastly, as a quick reminder, information in this podcast and from any material on the Finding Mastery website and social channels is for information purposes only. If you're looking for meaningful support, which we all need, one of the best things you can do is to talk to a licensed professional. So seek assistance from your healthcare providers. Again, a sincere thank you for listening. Until next episode, be well, think well, and keep exploring.